You know, Sunday, y'all recognize me, but yesterday was my birthday, and I turned 58 yesterday. Oh, I think I inverted the numbers. But, you know, it was a great day, and I don't ever get on Facebook. I got a page there. I go look and see if anybody else says anything up there. But a lot of y'all put stuff on my page yesterday. Thank you for that. Yeah, I saw y'all. I saw yours on there, yeah. You know, I never told this, I don't think, publicly. You know, I wasn't born in a hospital. I was born in my grandma's farmhouse, grandpa and grandma's. Dad was, he had been up there at that little church in Tom Bean, and that's, grandma and grandpa had a farm up there, and that's where he met my mom. And now he had gone down, was pastoring down in at Farmersville, and mom was up there at the farmhouse, and the doctor came out from White Ride, I believe is where he was at, and I was delivered at the farmhouse. So that's a little different than what most people think about, but that was 1939, so, you know. And, you know, even though that was the day that England declared war on Germany and World War II was started, many of you don't realize it because you wasn't taught this in school, but we did not get in the war until the Japanese bombed us at Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941, and then we declared war on Japan, and Japan was allied with the Nazis, and so they declared war on us, so that's really how we got involved in all of that. You know, and my dad used to tell me, and my mom used to tell me, son, you started walking and talking when you were 9 months old and you hadn't shut up since. And I'm serious. She would say that, wouldn't she? Wouldn't she? You ask my wife. My wife heard her say that. But, you know, it's been a great time. And that brings me to the point that, hey, if you're not registered to vote, get out there and register whenever they're out there. They'll be in that lobby out there and vote. Our country's in a very, very dire situations, and the only way we can help the situation is with our votes. And so you just make sure you vote. That's all. I just want to make sure you vote, okay? That's all I'm saying is just vote. I'm not saying who to vote for, who not to vote for. That's your own prerogative. That's your own decision. But, you know, I always pray before I vote, so now you might want to do the same thing. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, I want to talk to you. There's probably several principles. I just got three here for successful Christian living. And I know this from being an athlete, but I've heard that in some competitions that I don't know whether it's true or not, but some competitions that you compete in athletics, you take a pledge and you pledge, I have prepared, I have followed the rules, and I will not quit. Any of you athletes ever heard of that before? Maybe I'm the only one. You know, I got to thinking about that. When you're an athlete, you prepare. There's rules to follow, and if you're gonna get any kind of reward, you can't quit. I just have always been that way. I just wouldn't quit. I mean, one of my coaches said to me one day, said, "Hagin, you didn't have a crying chance of catching that guy. You're way over here on this side of the field, and he's over here running for a touch. But you ran to see if you could catch him all the way till he crossed the goal line. Said, that's one reason you play, because you won't quit. I said, well, coach, I mean, you know, he could have slowed down. He could fumble the ball, drop the ball, and then I might have a chance of getting it, you know. So I just didn't quit. I just won't quit. I won't give up. In fact, I was wrestling when I was, I don't know, I must have been 12, 13, maybe 14, with Uncle Pat, Dad's youngest brother. And we were wrestling, and he had me in an arm bar, had my arm up behind my back. And he said, say uncle. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And he kept twisting my arm. I said, Uncle Pat, either turn me loose or break my arm, because I am not going to give in to you. And he just let me go and said, oh, you just like all of us Hagans. We all got that, we just don't give up easy. Don't quit. And as I thought about this statement, I thought, you know, that really could apply with our walk with God. And so I just want to challenge you tonight that with some of these principles. And, you know, you don't ever win anything being a spectator. On Saturday morning after the high school football games, or Saturday after the college games, or Sunday after the pro games, there are a lot of fantastic quarterbacks and coaches that are talking about what should have been done and what should not have been done, and so forth and so on. But I'm going to tell you what, if you a running back or a quarterback or a wide receiver, and you weigh about 200 pounds, and you got a 350-pound man coming at you full blast, that's a different story. But, you know, you've got to be active participator as you walk with God, and you got to prepare. Follow the rules and not quit. But it will require more than just saying it. Hello. You know, look at that first part. I have prepared. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be diligent. Present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Right? That's somebody, this is talking about somebody that's been in the Word and studying the Word and knowing what the Word says. Now, I read this story, and I don't know about it, but it's a good illustration point. It says, many, many years ago, a Japanese emperor commissioned an artist to paint a bird for him. Well, months went by and still no picture. A year went by, no picture. Several years went by, no picture. Finally, the emperor was very exasperated, and he went to the artist's home and demanded an explanation. Instead of making excuses, the artist put a blank canvas up on the easel. In less than an hour, he completed a painting that became a brilliant masterpiece. When the emperor said, well, my goodness, you did that in an hour. Why with the delay? And the artist showed him armloads of drawings of feathers, wings, heads, feet. He said, then he explained all the research. This is all the research and the study that was necessary to complete this painting. Armloads. He wanted to be prepared to draw a proper bird. I don't know why you would have to do it that way, but that's what this story says, and it's good. Yeah. Are you preparing properly for life? Now let's get on the natural side. Are you preparing for retirement? Are you preparing for your career? Are you preparing to make a major purchase? We all need to take time to prepare, or at least we should, for these kind of events in our lives. But what are we doing to prepare ourselves in the kingdom of God? You know, I made a choice to go to Bible college. Why did I do that? To prepare me for ministry, because I felt called to the ministry. There were some others that went to Bible school with me that went into other careers, but they went there so that they said they wanted to have a good, solid foundation so that they could be a witness anywhere they went, but they weren't preparing for ministry. You know, if you're going to be ready for anything, it takes preparation. You know, one man said this: if you wait until opportunity comes, it's too late. Now listen to this. Opportunity does not come to those who wait for it. Opportunity comes to those who prepare for it. You know, if you're just a spectator and walking with God, then you're never going to really receive any of the blessings, and there's sure not going to be any rewards at the end, because the Word of God talks to us about receiving our rewards at the end, and they are done as we do the things that the Word of God has told us to do here on earth. Boy, y'all awful quiet. You know, I believe if you are preparing yourself properly and growing in your relationship with God, then you'll have no trouble finding opportunities. It'll come to you. Amen. You know, so be a lively participant. Now, what are some things that you need to do in preparing so you can live a good, successful life with God? Now look at this. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, now this is the part I want to get to. Lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Therefore, NLT says, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God set before us. Now he puts here, let us strip off every weight, but then the sin, and we all know that. But you know what? There are things that may not be a sin, that may be causing you a problem from being able to do all the things that God wants you to do or in serving. You know, when I was running track in high school, I did something and different than the other guys, and some of them laughed at me for it, but they didn't run in the state track meet, and I did. I put on the heaviest pair of shorts, the heaviest t-shirts, heaviest socks, and then I didn't wear my track shoes. I wore my baseball cleats. Now, baseball cleats are a lot heavier, or they were back in the day when I'm running. They had a They were metal spikes, and in the shoe was it was metal that these spikes were hooked onto. Triangle spikes that were triangles. Anybody ever have any of those? And they're heavy. I would train with those. That's how. And then when I got ready, even when I would use them when I was warming up, getting ready to run before my race. I would put them on and warm up with those on. Now, I have on my regular track uniform, and when you get on your regular track uniform, you got the lightest pair of shorts and the lightest T-shirt, and you don't wear any socks usually, because that's weighting me down. So when I put my track shoes on, man, they felt light. And actually, they were a whole lot more heavier than the shoes are today, because they did have a metal in them too, because you had to screw those spikes in and out, and they were about that long. And then if they got dull, you had to either sharpen them or put some new spikes in. But, you know, I mean, I'm talking about an honest evaluation of yourself. Are there some things that you might can do that would help you more in living your life for Christ? And then another thing that hinders us is overcoming hindrances. Galatians 5:7, you ran well who hindered you from obeying the truth. And NLT says, you were running the race so well, who has held you back from following the truth? And I want you to notice something here. Whenever you make a commitment to God to follow him, there's always going to be something that's coming in trying to hinder you from having a real walk with God. Now, I want you to notice something here. This is interesting. Paul said, who did hinder you? He didn't say the devil. He said, who did hinder you? He didn't say what. Although sometimes there are some whats. But, you know, most of the time it's someone that gives us a problem and tries to hinder us. You know, to overcome the who's and the whats, the first step is to recognize them and move away from them. Hello? You know, the Apostle Paul says something in Romans, the last chapter in Romans. I wasn't going to read this, but I feel like I'm going to need to, so I'm going to do it. The last chapter in Romans. Okay. Go down to about verse 17. And they don't have it back there. It's Romans 16:17, guys. I didn't give you that scripture. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, but by good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad to all men, and I'm glad therefore for your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto which is good and simple. Good and simply concentrate on evil. Now, in this thing, he starts out in this chapter, and most people overlook that because all it is, he's just greeting people. And right in the middle of it, he says that, and then he goes right back to greeting people. But what I want you to get a hold of it, them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you learn, avoid them. Come on now. I'm talking about the hindrances that keep us from doing what, you know, there's a lot of people that are teaching some things that sound good and even quoting scripture, but it's really not good. So if I was you, I'd stay away from that. You don't have to go talking about them. Just get away from it yourself. Don't listen to it. I was flipping channels the other night. Oh, maybe it's a couple of weeks ago now. And I stopped on this channel because it was one of the religious channels. And this guy, and I listened at him talk for a minute. And then all of a sudden he started saying some things. And I said, I don't even want to hear that. And I just flipped it out because it was so far off base from the scripture that he was using. And this is why I want to get to this. So you realize, I don't care who it is teaching it, if they're using the scripture out of context and trying to teach something that is not true, you need to stay away from it. And I'm going to say something that's probably going to upset some people, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I'm 85 and I've been doing this for 60-something years, and I'll look them in the eye, whoever it is, and tell them the same thing. You know, they use in scripture that has nothing to do with giving finances to get people to give money. And I don't want y'all to get into that trap. I don't care. I get upset. I really do. That these guys, they get up there and they talk about giving, and then they give all these illustrations that this person gave this and they got $5,000. They gave $5 and 2 weeks they got $5,000. And then they go on with all kinds of this nonsense. Thank God if that did happen. Sometimes when people talk about stuff, you better check up and see if they have. We say we got 297 Bible schools. Well, go check it. We do. Right? You know, there's some people talking about the Bible schools they have. You go check it. They ain't got them there. I'm serious. Come on now. Don't sit down on me. I'm trying to help you with some hindrances that's not that will hinder you from really receiving all the blessings that God has for you. That's all I'm trying to do, okay? And my wife will tell you this, because I got really upset about it. I had just gotten out of the Army. It was just before we got married. And I was listening to the radio, and this radio preacher got on there, and he said, "Oh, I was praying, and if you got a son that's in Vietnam, send me $25, and I'll pray, and he'll come home." That's exactly what he said. Remember me telling you that? Oh, actually, I thought about this. I didn't do it. I thought about it. Going to where he was at, and just actually laying hands suddenly on him. But our Bible says don't lay hands suddenly on him. I'm serious. I mean, I just got out in August, and this was probably October that I heard this. I only been out. And hey, I was in at the beginning of Nam when Nam started. It started there in 63. Really, it'd been going a little bit, but it really started to ramp up in 63, 64, 65, and then really full blown 67. But I was in, and I knew guys. And that's not right. That's wrong. It's not even Bible. Now, I happen to know the guy that had something to do with his ministry personally, that off of that one radio broadcast, he got $1 million. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that. Well, he's going to have to answer for it, not me. I would have had to answer if I'd have went and found him and beat the fire out of him like I wanted to. But you see, there are people that are saying things that if you grab a hold of them, they can be a hindrance to you and you don't even realize it. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? Now, as we're in this race, walking with God, focus on the end results. When you do what the Word of God says, you're blessed. But let's take it further than that. Let's take it all the way to the end of life. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. You know, there's some people that just in a race sometimes, they just run to run. You know, and we're talking about to be successful, you got to prepare and you got to focus on the end results. I'm going to tell you what. All those afternoons from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon to about 5 o'clock when the coach let us go, and I'm out there and I'm running those 220s and doing all the things that are necessary. It's not any fun. But I'm thinking about the end reward of that was running in the state track meet in May of 1957. Now, it wasn't any fun when in February he made us start. And I'm a sprinter. I'm not a... The milers, yeah, let the milers, they let the 2 milers and the milers go run with the cross country. I'm a sprinter. I run 220 yards. That's what I do in my race, and then I run 220 yards in the relay race. But he made us go out there and run with the cross country team. And we had to run up over the backside of the school there in Kennedyville, run up over there's a mountain behind us. You run up over and back down and hit the highway out here and run back into town about 3 or 4 miles and then come run back to the track, to the school. And then when we hit that track, you got to sprint. Now, you already just run about 7 miles. And now you gotta run as hard as you can for 440 yards. That's how, now, that's what the track was then. We yards, not meters. That wasn't any fun, people. It wasn't at all. But I'm going to tell you what. That night in May, when I'm lining up in the relay race and run the second leg, man, that's fun. That was fun. But I wouldn't have been there if I hadn't have done all the preparation back here and stripped away. My mind used to say, because I would stay out extra and run a few to get, locker room going to be full anyway, so let them get out of the way and run extra, you know, run some extra laps. But you see, that was... And my mind said me, oh, you better hurry up because you got a big test tomorrow. You got a big test tomorrow. Or you got this, or you need to do this, or you need to do the other. Those were things that were trying to hinder me from doing what I needed to do so I'd be prepared to run the race when the time came. Focus on the end results. Many people are running the race just just not to go to hell, but to go to heaven. That's all. That, they're just trying to not to go to hell. But you know what? Heaven's not the goal. The goal is the reward after you get to heaven. Look, for there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to the one. You see, there, the reward's at the end. If any of you watched any of the track and field at the Olympics, those people, they were running to get up there on that stage and get that gold medal or that bronze medal or that silver medal. They really wanted the gold, but if they didn't get the gold, they wanted one of the others. Hey, the other guys ran. They didn't come home no medals. Man, when I go stand before the Lord, I want to get the crown. I just don't want him to say, oh, come on, you made it. I want him to say, come on in. Here's your reward for being faithful. Come on now. And then following the rules. 2 Timothy 2:5, and I got to hurry. I took too long, didn't I? And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, I'm not talking about somebody's list of do's and don'ts. I'm talking about following what the Bible says. Now, in order to build a good relationship with Christ, to have win the prize at the end, the rewards at the end, there are some things you don't do. And there are some things you do do, right? You do. Just like the runner that disciplines themselves to be ready for the race. You know, Peter said, be ready at all times to give an account for your salvation and your happiness and things of God. We can put whatever we want on there, but you're not ready if you're not prepared and you're not going by the rules. And in the end, when it's all said and done, Paul said, I fought the good fight of faith. I finished the race. I kept the faith. The NLT says that I have fought the good fight of faith. I finished the race. I have remained faithful. I want you to notice that Paul put this in the past tense. He just didn't decide to do it at the last moment. You never seen an athlete that won the gold medal or won the prize that just decided to do it that day. You just don't do that. It's the discipline and the training and doing the things beforehand that gets you the reward. So if you're going to get the reward at the end of your race, follow the written word of God. And Paul says we must do this according to the rules, meaning according to the Bible. And then I will never quit. 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, having done all to stand. When things don't go your way, stand. When your faith is tested, stand. When your decisions are aligned with the scriptures and others try to hinder you, stand. Even if you stand alone, just stand. And if you do these things at the end of your race, you can say, I prepared, I followed the rules, I did not quit, therefore I am qualified for the reward. Heavenly Father, just tried to stir up these people's pure minds tonight to get more serious about serving you, realizing that there are rewards for doing what you have told us to do in the Word of God. I thank you that each one has received what they needed to receive tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? I know it's a little different, but you know how I am on Wednesday night. I usually try to give you something. Actually, you could use these same principles in your life, in your natural life, to be a success in your natural life, in your careers, and so forth and so on. Hello? You know, I'm just looking down here, William. William's a salesman at very successful salesman at Mathis Brothers. You're still there, aren't you? I know you are. You know what? He has to prepare himself, because when a customer comes in and starts asking questions, he's got to know all about that furniture and all about everything. And there's a, hey, you ever looked how many different kinds of furniture was in there, and how many different, and when somebody asks him the difference between this couch and this couch by this one and this couch by this one, he's got to know the differences, or he's not going to make a sale. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. We need to prepare ourselves so we know when anybody comes to us with any other kind of doctrine, or the devil comes with us at anything, we can say, hey, wait a minute, this is what I know. I'm prepared for you. Come on. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. I trust you got something tonight out of this. If you're in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want you to know him before you leave here. Or if you're here and you know what it is to serve Christ, but you got off course and detoured, and you need to rededicate your life to God. Or you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, Spirit gave them utterance. If that's you on any one of those invitations, the men are here and the ladies are over here, if you'll come down to the front, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you come, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason, for anything, you'll come down here, they'll pray with you, and you'll receive what you need from God. Hey, Sunday morning right here at 10 o'clock, come believing, come expecting, turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to do what's necessary to receive the reward at the end. God bless you. If you need prayer for anything right now, come to the front. Salvation, Holy Spirit, healing, anything, come to the front.